And once again, so happy to have Sister Vanessa Orell that's going to be sharing some great things with us this morning. We greatly appreciate Brother and Sister Orell, Sister Vanessa and Brother Stephen Orell. They are our youth leaders, and they have done a tremendous job. They are a great example and a role model for our youth and for our church. And as we all know now, Sister Vanessa is also now a new mother and a great mother, young mother. Sister Vanessa, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you now.
Thank you, Brother Vic. Praise the Lord, church. It's always a privilege and an honor to be able to speak on these devotions. And this morning, I am going to give a little bit of my testimony, and I am putting a timer on because I want to be mindful of the time. I know with testimonies, there's just so much every one of us have to say, and there's a lot within it, but I want to be mindful of your time as well. So when I came to church, I was 15 years old, and most of you guys know the Aguilars, Brother and Sister Aguilar, are my mom and dad. And some of you that may not know, they're not my biological mom and dad. They are like my spiritual adoptive mom and dad. And I'll get into that a little bit later. But my biological mother and father, and I'll refer to them as mother and father, so you guys know I'm talking about my biological parents. They divorced when I was very young. And my childhood growing up, it was very unstable. My mother and father constantly fighting back and forth. We witnessed, you know, lots of arguments. My father was never an abusive father, thankfully. My mother was actually more of the abusive one. She would throw things at my father, hit him, and, you know, then put him in jail. And so that was just kind of the lifestyle that, you know, that I grew up around. And then as I got older, we had to choose who we were going to live with. There was a time I lived with my father. And during that time, there were several incidents where he would tell us, goodnight and tell us, you know, I love you, but you may not see me again. I have to go take care of some business, and just know that I love you. And so obviously for a little girl, I had two brothers, at one older and one younger, and so that was, you know, a hard hit for us. And I remember one night just crying with my brother, my older brother. And that night I remember I prayed for the first time, not really knowing God. We never were in church. And I just asked God to bring my dad home. I didn't know or understand what was going on. All I knew was my dad said, I'm never going to see him again. What is going on? And I was hurt. I was broken. And I was just praying and asking God, just please just bring my dad home. Whatever happened, he ended up coming home. And we didn't hear anything after that. So, I mean, life just went on as normal. And so that was that. Another incident where he told us, you know, he wanted to kill himself and showed us a rope hanging in our garage that he had ready to hang himself in our house with kids inside the home. So that's kind of like just to kind of give you an idea of how my life was as a child. It wasn't the best. Of course, it wasn't always like that. You know, there was some happy times. There was a lot of more sad than happy that I remember. And as I got older, I moved in with my mother, going into my teenage years, because I wanted a little bit more freedom and liberty. Living with my father, he was old school Mexican, so very hardcore, very traditional as far as, and I was, you know, I was his daughter. So, of course, there's a lot of stuff and things I was not allowed to do or to go, with very good reason. But as a rebellious young girl, I just wanted to experience a little bit more. I wanted to go out with friends and just have a little bit more fun in my eyes. So I moved in with my mother. That broke my father's heart. and he had told me he disowned me as his daughter and never wanted to speak to me ever again. And so that, of course, crushed me. And so there was just a lot of anger, a lot of bitterness built up as a child. As I got older, just everything built up. And the way I have always handled things, situations, I just bottled them up inside and just kept it inside and let nobody know. And that's how I dealt with stuff, just kept it all inside and just kind of tried to deal with it internally as best as I could. And so so I was with my mother in high school, not living, you know, a good lifestyle. I never got into, like, heavy drugs or anything, but the people I hung around with were in gangs. I never got involved in gangs, but that's just the kind of crowd that I was around, just so you can kind of have an idea of the kind of person I was. Very, very ugly person. I was, when I came to God, I had huge attitude. I was the total opposite of who I am today. Thank God. When God does it, he does it absolutely perfectly. And I had an attitude. I was bitter. I was angry, of course, because of everything that I had gone through as a child and because of my parents' situation. I didn't feel loved. My father disowned me, didn't want to talk to me. My mother was, you know, I was living with her, but at the same time, she was kind of crazy. She was always up and down and with her emotions as well. And we never had a good relationship. She also, when we were kids, I was told, took us in the middle of the street and just left us there and said, I guess she was fighting with my father. And I don't know, one of her lashes out and to make him do whatever she wanted, I guess. I have no idea. But took us in the street and told us, you know, I don't want these kids anymore. So if you want them, then you take them. Obviously, to do the kind of things they did to their children, it just doesn't make sense. It's just not natural parental love. It's just totally unnatural. And so anyways, back to high school, we lived in Apple Valley. She ended up she was always in and out of relationships with men, and she was in this new relationship with this guy that lived in Barstow. And that's how we moved to Barstow. She fell in love with him. And we moved in with him in this little two-bedroom apartment. It was myself. I had three younger brothers that she had along the way with another man. And so it was myself, my three younger brothers, my mother, moved in with this guy in his two-bedroom apartment, started going to high school there, got in with the same crowd. And after a little bit, in one of my classes, one of my friends, his name was Julian, him and his family had got into church. The church, and it was Brother Aguilar's church. They were having a revival with Brother Greg Prowns at the time. And he came back one class period and was telling, and he was around the same crowd and, you know, smoked and drank and partied and all that lifestyle. And he was telling us how him and his family got the Holy Ghost and got baptized in Jesus' name, and how God totally changed his thinking, his mindset, his lifestyle. And after getting baptized, he had no desire to drink again, to smoke, and it was just a total miracle of God. And we're all looking at him like, he's crazy. Of course, and we're like, okay, sure. And he would constantly, I only had him for one class period, so I would see him, you know, one time during that class every day. And he would always talk to us about God every single day, just witness to us, and he was a new convert, so he was just on fire for God. And we were at the least, very irritated about the conversations he would constantly have us. And we're like, dude, that, you know, we're happy for you, but that's good for you. Just, you know, leave us alone. We wanted nothing to do with it. And so, but no, he kept at it. He kept at it, and he kept at it. And finally, we're like, okay, listen, to get you off our back, we'll go. And this is, I know this is for most of us. We're like, just leave us alone. We'll go to one service, but you know, you gotta calm down a little bit with this God stuff. We're just not into all that. But to kind of like ease you a little bit, we'll go. So he was so excited, made us promise. He like recorded us saying he promised. He wanted to make sure we kept our words. So me and one of my friends, Erica, we're like, okay, we'll go together. That way we're not alone, and we'll see what this is all about. I was 15 at the time, and we went, I think it was a Friday night, and I don't remember exactly or at all, actually, I don't remember what they preached about. The only thing, one of the only things that I remember is one of the elderly ladies there, Sister Gordon, she sang a song, and it's, if you know this song, it's out of the songbook. It's called "He Was There All the Time." Beautiful song. And the song just spoke volumes to my life. And I held back tears because just every word in that first verse was everything that I was feeling. And it felt like she was like singing my life, just looking for love, looking for peace, for everything. And obviously all the wrong places, I didn't know where to look, so I just looked where I thought, you know, maybe we can find it here. Of course, never finding it. And so I held myself together. I didn't cry, you know, or anything. And then the altar call came, and my friend asked me, do you want to go to the altar call? To the altar? I was like, sure. I've never been to church, never been to an altar, so I had no idea what to expect at all. When I first came to church, my base knowledge was Jesus was God and there was one God. He died for us on the cross, and that was it, which is a very good basis as somebody who's never known God. And but that was my knowledge and understanding of God, and that was it. I knew there was different religions, but that was just my base knowledge. And so I'm like, sure, I'll go to the altar. So I went to the altar, you know, and then they're walking us through, close your eyes, you know, tell Jesus you love him, repent, the whole thing that we do now. And so as they were talking to me and praying with me, the tears just began to flow. And all I remember was me thinking, I don't really understand or know why I'm crying, but all I know is this is exactly what I have needed my whole life. And everything that I had been through, this is where I need to be. This is where it's at. This is the love that I have been wanting and needing from my parents that they have never given me or never able to give me for, you know, they just didn't know how or whatever the reason. And I knew I was where I needed to be. And after that service, I made up in my mind, this is where I need to be. I'm going to come back. And so, of course, that thrilled my friend. And, you know, I didn't get the Holy Ghost that night, but just really had a good cry, you know, in the presence of the Lord and just felt God's presence very strong. And so every service after that, I believe during that revival, they were having service like Monday through Friday, Saturday off, and then church on Sunday. And so I went as many times as I can go. After that, and then I believe it was October, around October that I had first went to church, and then in November I had received the Holy Ghost, and then in was getting Bible studies from my friends, and then in January is when I decided I need to get baptized in Jesus' name. And so I had, during this time, you know, I had spoken to my mother about it. She knew I was going to church. She, you know, didn't say too much about it. And I had told her I was going to get baptized, asked her if she would go, and she said no. And so I was a little bit disappointed because to me this was like a really pivotal moment in my life, and she had no interest in going, and so, which was no surprise to me, but it was still disappointing. So I went to church that Sunday and was kind of discouraged. Service went on, and when I was about to get baptized, I just remember thinking to myself, you know what, my mother's not here, my family's not here, but my church is here, my pastor and his wife is here, and above all else, my God is here, and that is all that matters. And if I'm going to live for God, I'm going to live for God with or without my family. I don't need my family to live for God. This is all that matters. And if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it by myself. And if I have to, I'm going to do it because I just want to live for God. And so I got in the water, and we did not have a heater in our baptistry. So it was in end of January, very cold. It's in Barstow, so it was very cold. I was shaking, freezing. Oh, my word. And I was like half the size I am now, super skinny. And so I just remember I was so cold. But when I came out of the water was warm. And I remember just praising God, speaking in tongues. And I felt this huge, huge heaviness that I carried all my life just lifted off of me. And from that moment on, I didn't miss a church service, kept on going. I totally changed the way I dressed. People from the church, the ladies from the church, really took me in and got me clothes and skirts and, you know, really, really helped me and really nurtured me and just took me in as their own. And after I got baptized is when my mother really started to drill into me that this was a cult, it wasn't of God, and this whole spill. And so it got really bad at home. It was almost an everyday thing. And there was many times where I doubted my relationship and my walk with God because of her, because of how bad that she treated me after that. And not constantly, but there was a good handful of times where I was praying to God and asked him, God, you have got to prove to me and show me that this is real. I've never known anything else, and I don't know if what she's saying is true or not. All I know is my experience that I have with you, and I know what I felt is real. But as far as doctrine and all this stuff, I have no idea, but everything they're preaching is in the Bible. So just prove to me and just show me. And, you know, I constantly would apologize to him. I'm so sorry for doubting you. But just please show me that this is real and this is where you want me to be. And time after time, that same service right after that, God would show me and either give me a sign or through a message, reveal himself to me in such a way that I'm like, okay, this is it. You know, I just need to just keep on walking, keep my eyes straight on God, and just not pay attention to anything my mother says. So time goes on. My mother and I, still the relationship isn't good. I tried and tried. I would always invite her to church, and she would come a few times, but just never anything. And just really hated on the church and on me, and constantly telling me, you know, this is fake, and, you know, everything that you're doing is fake, and you're just going to go back to how you were before, and just, it was just ridiculous. And so at 17, before 17, she would constantly tell me, you know, if you keep going to that church, I'm going to kick you out. I do not want you living here if you're going to be going to that church. And I would tell her, I'm like, well, sorry, but I'm living for God. You do what you need to do, but I'm going to live for God, and I'm going to go to church. And so I kept on going. She kept on, you know, threatening to kick me out. And so at 17, I came home from church one day. one night, it was a Wednesday night, and I got dropped off by a family in church, and she was sitting in our living room. The lights were all off. She had one lamp on. It was really creepy thinking about it. And she said, "Get out of my house. I do not want you here anymore." And I was so stunned. I'm like, "Are you serious?" I thought, "Is she joking? Is she like, okay?" I'm like, "This is weird." And so she's like, and then she started getting louder and, you know, yelling at me. She's like, "Get out of my house. I don't want you here. Call whoever you need to call. Tell them pick you up, but get out." And so I really had no time to get clothes or anything. So I went, she kicked me out. So I had, you know, I was outside. So I called back. I called my friend, Julian, and I said, "Hey, my mother just kicked me out of the house. I'm outside. I can't go back in. I don't know what to do." So he called our pastor, and at that time, our assistant pastor and his family, they took me in for a little bit, and I stayed with him for a while, and my mother ended up moving to Texas with a new boyfriend at this point, and asked if I wanted to go with her, and I'm like, "Well, you kicked me out. No, I'm not going to go with you. So I can be stranded in Texas all by myself, right?" So I'm like, "No, I think I'll stay here." So she left, and I know I am running out of time. So she left, when she came back, I ended up moving back in with her because she apologized and told me she was sorry and wanted to, you know, mend things up. And that was a constant thing for her, lashing out and then apologizing, lashing out and apologizing. So that's always been her ways. And so I went back with her several times, thinking and hoping things would change. And obviously they never did. So the third time she kicked me out was when I finally got it in my head, like, you know, my mom's probably not going to change unless she lives for God. So that is when the Aguilars took me in, and I moved in with them. I think I was 19 at this point. And they became my mom and dad. Obviously, I didn't call them mom and dad right away. You know, we built a relationship. We grew closer together, and they just took me in as their own and never treated me like I was, you know, a hindrance or a burden to them, and just really, really took me in and loved me and nurtured me. And that is when I was finally able to live for God the way I had been wanting to, without distraction and without all this, you know, up and down for my mother, and just kept on going. And so I want to end real quick with a verse that kind of kept me going the whole time. It's in Psalm 27. 9 and 10, it says, "Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." And that scripture is just, it's always meant everything to me, because that's exactly what happened to me in my life. Forsaken by my parents, forsaken by my family. And I had to make a decision and make up in my mind, I'm going to live for God no matter what. And whoever's listening, young people, middle age, whatever age you are, wherever you are in life, you can live for God. If I can do it with the little that I had and being forsaken totally by family and outcasted by the family, you can live for God. If you would just make up in your mind, I'm going to do it no matter what. No matter if my mom serves God, if my brother, my dad, my sister, my husband, my wife, I'm going to live for God with my whole heart. And you can do it without wavering. You can do it without riding the fence. You can do it walking that straight and narrow road. And that's all I have, Brother Vic.
And it was great. It was tremendous, Sister Vanessa. And we can already tell that we are going to have Sister Vanessa come back and give the rest of that testimony in more detail, because there's quite a bit. I've heard some of it myself. And again, thank you for opening up and sharing such personal and painful details of your life, Sister Vanessa. Again, we've heard many testimonies and experiences from our people, and it has served to help many of our people to be more empathetic, and it has created more unity in our church. You know, I see, and I believe we see, Sister Vanessa as someone who is so respectful, has such a sweet spirit, and she loves people. One would never have imagined that Sister Vanessa went through the things that she did as a child and as a young person. And thank God for a young man who was not afraid to share his testimony at school with Sister Vanessa, even if people didn't want to hear it. Well, again, what a powerful testimony we heard this morning. Church, why don't we just thank God for Sister Vanessa, everything the Lord has done in her life, and now the shining example that she is to our young people. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Sister Vanessa Orell. Lord God, we thank you for her new family, Brother Stephen, and her young child, Matthias. Lord God, we thank you for everything you've done in her life. You have brought her into the kingdom for a time such as this, and now she's going to be an example for our children, our young ladies, and our young people. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for her and for everything that you're doing in her life. And with that said, church, we want to remind everybody to come back to our devotion tonight. We will be having our couple's devotion tonight with Brother Sid and Sister Jessica Murish tonight at 7:15 p.m. We welcome everyone to be back at that time. Be prayerful, meditate upon everything we heard with Sister Vanessa Orell this morning, and have a great day in Jesus' name. Amen.